everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. My name is Matt, your host. Today is May 14th, I hope. I'm doing this by memory, 2016, and we're going to be here live for the next hour or so. And we've got a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of things in the month of May. A big program set up here for you. It's always a pleasure to be back behind the microphone, getting to talk to everybody out there. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the radio page, and you can stream us live there. And give us a call here at the studio, at the KTEM studios at 254-773-1400. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And during the course of the week and every day of life, things happen. And with that, I get opinions. And every week, I tell you my opinions in the course of that week. And this one is no different. And this one is entitled, Are You One of These? Ladies and gentlemen, I really hope that you are not one of these types of people. And what type am I talking about, you ask? The stupid, embarrassing, childlike people who screws up everything for the rest of us informed adults. What I'm talking about specifically is the concealed carry badge. In case you're not aware of what that is, it's a badge, which can come in many different shapes, styles, and colors, and states clearly on it that it is a license to carry badge or a concealed carry badge. Now, what's the purpose of this badge, you ask? Well, for all you Johnny wannabes out there, it's a head-swelling trip that makes you feel like you're important and special. To me, and people like me, it's used to identify myself as a legal citizen licensed to carry a weapon. And on top of that, I only show the badge when I carry in the open. When I wear my badge and go into retail stores of all kinds, you know what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. That's because people have learned subconsciously that a gun with a badge is okay. When I don't wear the badge, I get some looks from people just making sure I'm legit. Now, the other reason I wear the badge is, God forbid, that I get in a shootout and law enforcement comes on the scene, I want them to see my badge first. That badge will most probably, and Dr. Neil Trent, I know you're listening, the probability, not the possibility, but the probability, will give me a 2 to 3 second advantage from getting shot while the officer figures out that I'm one of the good guys. Now, to all you stupid people out there prancing around with a concealed carry badge and playing that fine line between just being an individual licensed to carry and presenting yourself as a police officer, I say this. Stop being stupid or take off the damn badge. You are the type of people who ruin it for the rest of us. I have spoken with police officers, sheriff's deputies, constables, judges, sheriff, asking the same question. Would you hesitate if you saw the badge and the answer is yes? If you morons continue your foolishness and cause the state to restrict the use of these badges, you will be on mine and many others' poo-poo list. And for all you saying that bad guys will wear one, well, that complaint doesn't hold water either, because the bad guys would use any badge if they wanted to, if we had a concealed carry law in this state or not. So please, all you childlike concealed carry holders, please, take off the badge, stay home, and play with your blocks. Now, this may sound tough, and it is, but too many have worked too hard to get this state to be a concealed carry state and an open carry state. And to all of those people, I say thank you very much. And that's my opinion. If you don't like it, 254-773-1400, and we'll talk about it. Okay, moving on to the show highlights. Today's license to carry segment will cover penal codes 941 and 942, protection of one's own property, and deadly force to protect property. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do in any situation, but I will tell you what the law says you can and cannot do. And once again, I'll be reading true stories from the NRA's American Riflemen's the Armed Citizens column. And today, like last week, I'll have a bonus story, so stay tuned for that. We'll have 4 stories to read. In my PEP section, Practice Eliminates Panic, I will discuss with you the 5-step drawing procedure when drawing your weapon from the holster. And we'll have this on video as well. So come probably Monday, go to the K10 YouTube channel, and you'll get to see my ugly mug demonstrating that. Today's topic of interest is going to be kind of fun to some extent. We're going to be talking about words and phrases and acronyms. So that should prove pretty interesting. My product spotlight, courtesy of ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, will be the Taurus Public Defender in 45 Long Colt and 410. It's a revolver otherwise known as the Judge. And if we're lucky, I'll get to my gun training demo. Commonly mistaken parts. If you know what the parts do, you know when they're not working. And when they're not working, you'll probably be able to figure out how to fix them if you know what the parts are and what they do. Okay, so we're going to talk about all these things. And today, Paul, this is a new one for you. At around the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have a repeat of a special guest, Ed Laughlin. We're going to repeat the Ed Laughlin interview. It was very informative, and I think you'll enjoy it. You all know Super Ed. The only thing about Ed is he doesn't wear a cape. We need to get Ed a cape. I'm not sure what color, though, red or blue or whatever, but we'll figure it out. Gold cape? Paul says a gold cape. Why do you say gold, Paul?
I don't know. Think about it. There could be many different things about it.
Different things about the color gold?
Well, he brings a lot of communities together through his good wealth, you know, shares among people, like bringing people to the theater to see the Benghazi movie and stuff.
Okay, so you're thinking gold would fit Ed better. I'm thinking Ed's a power kind of guy, and red. Red's a power color. Or maybe purple.
Red's more of a aggressive color. Let's say a police car.
Well, you got to be aggressive in the courtroom. Isn't Ed doing defensive law now? I mean, you got to...
Well, he's more like divorce.
Well, that can be pretty aggressive, dude. Okay. All right, we're moving on here. License Ed, you hear that? We need to figure out what color cape you need to wear. Give us a call, 254-773-1400. Let's figure out what color cape Ed needs to wear to be Super Ed. All right, Texas Penal Code 941. Protection of one's own property, and Penal Code 942. And Paul, I hope they heard you over the mic. I don't know if they could hear you that far away. Everyone asks me, what can I do if someone is stealing or damaging my property? Well, the first thing I ask is if they know what they are allowed to do under the law. And the second question I ask is whether or not the property that is being stolen is worth killing someone over. They look at me funny when I say that too. Now, I can't tell you what to do if someone is stealing your property. I can only tell you what the law says you can and cannot do when someone steals your property. Now, I know what I would do, but I'm not you, and you're not me, so you'll have to decide that on your own. But as a starting point, let me read to you Texas Penal Codes pertaining to this subject. So it would be very wise for you to take some notes. I'm going to first read Penal Code 941, Protection of One's Own Property. Then I'll read to you Penal Code 9.42, Deadly Force to Protect Property. But before I even do that, let me once again, read the definitions of force, reasonable and necessary force, and deadly force. None of us can make a rational decision when it comes to defending ourselves unless we understand law and definition. So I'm going to read to you the forces, the different force levels and their meanings. The definition of force: resistance that in its actions alone will not cause death or serious bodily harm. Force, resistance that in its actions alone will not cause death or serious bodily harm. So, Paul, if I'm giving you some force, I want to say, and I'm going to just use the basic term of force, I would say, Paul, sit down. That would be a verbal command. That is a force in itself. And if you remember before when I talked about my force gauges, force starts at a verbal command, or even walking away, that would be a negative force, and it goes up to the line of reasonable and necessary force, which is the minimum amount of lawful aggression sufficient for self-protection or protection of a third person. I'll say that again. The minimum amount of lawful aggression sufficient for self-protection or protection of a third person. So, Paul, you didn't listen to me. You didn't sit down. So you're getting up, and I need to restrain you. So let's say I hold you in a bear hug, or I put you down on the ground, and I keep you from moving. That would be reasonable and necessary force. And to me, in my opinion, that kind of would be like a starting point, and I could progress from there up to deadly force. Deadly force is force that is intended or known by the actor to cause, or in the manner of its use or intended use, is capable of causing death or serious bodily injury. That could be anything, ladies and gentlemen. So let's read Penal Codes 941 and 942 and put this all into perspective here. I go to my trusty little workbook and take out Texas Penal Code 9.41, Protection of One's Own Property, paragraph A. A person in lawful possession of land or tangible movable property is justified in using force against another when and to the degree the actor reasonably, that's the word I asked Ed about, reasonably is a key word, we've talked about that, believes the force is immediately, I emphasize the words of importance, is immediately necessary to prevent the other's trespass on the land or unlawful interference with the property. Paragraph B. A person unlawfully dispossessed of land or tangible movable property by another is justified in using force against the other when and to the degree the actor reasonably believes the force is immediately necessary to re-enter the land or recover the property if the actor uses the force immediately or in fresh pursuit after the dispossession and one, the actor reasonably believes the other had no claim of right when the dispossession when he dispossessed the actor, or two, the other accomplished the dispossession by using force, threat, or fraud against the actor. Now, this penal code brings up a couple questions. Let's do an example. You got your mic on? Talk to me here. I'm going to be talking to Paul here, and we're going to have a conversation. Paul, you got your house. You come home. There's some dude stealing your big flat-screen TV. Okay, he's walking down the steps with it, and he's carrying it. What do you think, I'm putting you on the spot here, what do you think you could do using force, based on the definition we gave, to stop that man from stealing your TV?
Huh.
As the clock ticks.
You could easily say stop, but...
Oh, so you're saying a verbal command, stop.
A verbal command could work pretty well.
Okay. Put that TV down, right? Put it down gently.
Big flat screen. That's why I'm wondering, like, man, I would be worried you just, like, drop and... Yeah.
Okay. But, so we have to.
No, I think a verbal command would work. Cause now he knows that you're here. Somebody's in the house. He's been caught. Usually, I think most criminals freak out at that point. They're just trying to get away.
Okay. Very good. Let's say he decides not to let go of the TV. I'm going to go to another question here. What would be fresh pursuit in your opinion? How long? How far is fresh pursuit?
Define fresh pursuit.
I don't know. I'm asking your opinion.
I would assume as long as he's in my house on my property, I would be able to pursue.
See, now I would kind of agree with you. I would say maybe to the sidewalk, to the first city block, or if you've got a large piece of property, to the property line. In my opinion, after that, you'd be hunting. Because when you hear of law enforcement doing fresh pursuit, they could be traveling hundreds of miles, still in sight of this guy, traveling. But law enforcement isn't able to do that because they're apprehending the bad guys. Us, you know, after that point, the threat is over. He's gone. We may escalate the situation. We didn't have to. We could have called law enforcement. They could have come in, give the description.
I mean, you could go down the road. And when I mean that, like, let's say you see the dude. He's going out your back door now. And you can chase after him. You pull out your cell phone. You start calling the police. And you start giving details. And then you see that he gets into your car. Well, not into his car. And you start, you know, giving details about the car, maybe. But you know you may have just gone on the road in your community, but... That, I think that's far enough to give enough information.
Yeah, but you're not really aggressing. You're just being a good witness for the law enforcement. So they got details, license plate, type of vehicle, so on and so forth. So you're not really being aggressive. So I could see what you're talking about there. All right, very good. Let's go to Penal Code 942 here. Deadly force to protect property. A person is justified in using deadly force against another to protect land or tangible movable property. One, if he is justified in using force against the other... in section 941, the one we just read, and two, when and to the degree he reasonably believes the deadly force is immediately necessary, A, to prevent the other's imminent commission, imminent being right now, it's happening now, of arson, burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, or criminal mischief during the nighttime, or B, to prevent the other who is fleeing immediately after committing burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, or theft during the nighttime from escaping with the property, and three, he reasonably believes that the land or property cannot be protected or recovered by any other means, or B, the use of force other than deadly force to protect or recover the land or property would expose the actor or another to a substantial risk of death or serious bodily injury. Now, I got questions on this one. Paul, let's say you're driving a $75,000 vehicle. I'm going to guess that you would have full coverage on that vehicle. Okay. Now, people argue with me and they say this and that, but I'm telling you, in a court of law, I don't trust it. And here's what I'm getting at. If I got a $75,000 car and the guy's stealing it out of my driveway at 3 in the morning and I cap a few rounds to stop this individual and I go to a court of law and some hotshot attorney says, do you have full insurance coverage on that vehicle? And I go, yeah. They may try to utilize that on me as, hey, he had another way of recuperating his loss. Now, some people argue with me and they say that doesn't apply there, but I don't know. So all I'm saying is, when I say this, is think about it. Is it really worth taking somebody's life over a piece of metal? Now, if there's somebody in it, if there's your dog, a child, so on and so forth. Yeah, I see certain situations. All I'm getting at is sometimes being right isn't always profitable. Just a thought, okay? If you got a question or a problem or a concern, if you got a question, a positive statement, or anything like that, feel free to talk to me. If you have a complaint, feel free to talk to Paul. He'll take all the complaints, okay?
Yep, I always take the complaints.
All right. Let's move on to the NRA section. Once again, the number here to the studio is 254-773-1400. You can shoot me an email, no pun intended, to aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or just go directly to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Now, in this section, I'm going to read to you three stories, but this week is going to be like last week. I got a bonus one, so we're going to be reading four stories from the NRA's Armed Citizens page of the American Rifleman. And hopefully from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. Depends on the story. If you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one. The more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. And Paul, I'm looking at your nice leather bomber jacket with the big NRA logo on it. That's awesome. Way to go. Okay, story number one from January of 2000. Even though Hickory, North Carolina convenience store clerk Fred Hayes risked his job to discreetly carry a 25 caliber handgun at work, the decision likely extended his life. A customer attacked the concealed carry permit holder with a knife one morning and demanded money. When the store's manager got into the scuffle, Hayes, who had been cut by his attacker, fired one shot, striking the villain's side and sending him fleeing. He followed up by recording the getaway car's license number and hitting an emergency signal, summoning police. A wounded man was later charged with a crime at a nearby hospital. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, by now, you should know what I think of employers who take away the rights of law-abiding citizens by denying them the ability to defend themselves. If you don't, I'm sure you can figure out by my tone and the voice right now. Two, the clerk was fast to act and keep himself focused enough to get a license plate number and then call for help. So hopefully all of us will respond in this manner if it ever happens to us. Story number two. Again, from January 2000. After entering Stan Schley's Grand Rapids, Michigan cellular phone store, an armed man made an inquiry about a specific model, then promptly followed with the announcement, "I think I'll just take all your money." Schley said later that when he fired back a response, two shots from his own gun, he was thinking, "Not today. I'm not going to be a victim, at least not an easy victim." My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, at one point or another, we can all probably become a victim. But I prefer to be like Stan Schley, not an easy one. Be aware of your surroundings, situational awareness, situational probabilities. Know how to handle your mind, your body, and your soul so that you're prepared, God forbid, if that day ever comes. Story number three. January 2000. A female Sharon, Pennsylvania resident became frightened when a man repeatedly knocked on her door before going to her garage and picking up a chainsaw. According to police, the woman grabbed a .22 caliber handgun, went outside to confront the man. When she pointed the gun at the man's head and ordered him to drop the saw, he realized he had been trumped and repeatedly apologized before fleeing the property. My commentary. All I can say on this one is, go ahead, punk. Make my day. And our bonus story for today, May 14th, 2016, once again from the January 2000 issue of the American Rifleman's Armed Citizens column, is Shirley Menendez was visiting her father next door in Jacksonville, Florida, when a man brazenly intruded brandishing a handgun. The invader forced Menendez to tie up Claude Allen, 77, then herded her into a bedroom and was about to shoot when a jewelry box caught his eye. "He told me he was taking me to the other room to kill me," said Menendez. Meanwhile, Allen, who hadn't fired a gun since World War II, got loose, grabbed a 9mm Smith & Wesson pistol, and hit the robber with a single fatal shot. My commentary. Number one. I salute Claude Allen for making the shot and serving this country with honor. Two. The part about going to the other room to be killed? Mister, you got a serious fight on your hands. I will not be a cow led to slaughter, and neither should you, listeners. So be prepared, be aware, and have yourself ready, God forbid, if a situation like that happens to you. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be hitting on our PEP section, Practice Eliminates Panic. We're going to be talking about the 5-step drawing procedures. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who carry a weapon concealed or in the open. Make sure to pay attention to this video, probably come Monday on KTEM. Go to the KTEM YouTube channel. I'll probably have a link to it on my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and you can check it out either place. But for now, Paul, let's take a break. We'll be back on the other side in about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is May 14th, 2016. I am your host, Matt, and we're here live, and we're going to go over a whole bunch more stuff today. And before we get into our PEP section, I want to tell you about a bunch of upcoming events that you should write down, participate in, get signed up, share it. First of all, go to our Facebook page at aaronsgunshop.com. Be sure to like us. Check out all the details there. Check out the whole website for all the upcoming events. But first of all, next Saturday, there is an extremely 98% probability, I'm going to be probably confirming it over the weekend, of having a special guest host here in the studio, and that will be Cameron Police Chief Randy Dixon. He's been on the show a couple times. He's a plethora of information, and so I really look forward to listening to his show while I'm not here if it ends up being that way, so make sure you mark that down. He's going to have a lot of information to give out on next Saturday's show. And also, he'll be on the Ranch show, the 105.1 FM, the Ranch, at 10 o'clock. He'll be doing that show for me as well, most likely, from 10 to 11. So be sure not to miss it. Mark it down in your calendars. And make sure everybody at 10 o'clock to tune into us at the 105.1 station FM. We'll be doing some things are usually... You know, most of the show is the same. Some things may be different, and you might pick up some other information. May 22nd, Sunday, at 2 p.m., there'll be a license to carry class. That'll be after church and after lunch, so you have time to get there at 2 o'clock. $60 for the course, and it takes care of all the requirements that the state needs for you to get your certificate. May 28th, there'll be another class, the same type of class, only this one will be on a Saturday, and that'll be at 2:45. in Cameron, license to carry class, $60 for that class. On May 29th, ladies, listen up. This is a great seminar. It's a ladies-only self and home defense training seminar. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventure page. Look at the pink flyer. Look at all the things that it will entail. Sign up there. You better do it quick, though. It fills up fast, and we would hate for you to miss it. But check it out. Look at all the testimonials on the testimonial page of all the ladies who have taken the class before, and this will give you a good idea of what's going on. Now, June 11th and 12th, I will be, and the crew will be, at the premier gun show at the Mayborn Center in Temple. But on the 11th, we'll be doing a live remote. So mark that down. Come out and see us. We'll have the laser training booth there. Everybody loves the laser training booth. It's a great way for me to, on-site, at the moment, critique and give pointers on how to shoot better, faster, so on and so forth. So check that out. June 11th and 12th, premier gun show at the Mayborn Center. Now, ladies and gentlemen, also do me a favor. If you know someone who has some land good for grazing, cattle grazing, and are wanting to lease it to maintain an ag exemption, please call the following number, 512-914-7110. Got some great folks looking to lease some land. Minor fence repairs is okay, so you might get a benefit out of that as well. So give a call at 512-914-7110 if you have some cattle grazing land that you want to lease out for ag exemption, okay? All right, into our pep section. Once again, this will be on video. Practice eliminates panic. Five-step drawing procedure. The most important thing to do is to keep your eyes on the threat. Let me clarify this statement. Obviously, if you can't see the threat, you can't keep your eyes on the threat. But once the threat is identified, keep your eyes on the threat. I say this because when you do identify the threat and you are a licensed carry holder, whether your gun is concealed or not, you need to be able to function and manipulate your handgun, magazines, clothing, etc., without looking at it. Without looking at what you're doing, you have to do those functions. Now, you have to do this without looking because your eyes are focused on the threat. I see many people, when they draw their weapon from the holster, they look down at what they're doing, especially when they put the gun back into the holster. Now, I will admit, sometimes some holsters are kind of tricky putting it back in, but when the gun's going back in, usually the threat is over, so you have a little bit more time to do that. But when pulling the weapon out, no, we don't look at the holster. Now, I'm primarily talking about hip holsters, shoulder holsters, and maybe even purses. You must practice, practice, practice to become proficient at this skill. Now, from start to finish, from the decision to draw your weapon to the time it gets on target, there are steps that have to be done correctly for maximum efficiency. Now, what I'm going to read to you now is my acronym for drawing a weapon from concealment or in the open. So get your pens and paper ready. You won't remember this unless you write it down. You're going to walk it through, look in the mirror, and practice this, okay? Now, do what I tell you in slow motion first, and then you get faster as you go, but make sure every step is done correctly, then just faster and smoother. And remember, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So now let me go and read to you my five-step drawing procedure. And I'm going to be showing this in the video. After I read it, I'm going to demonstrate it. So Paul, let me get the cameras right. Okay, let's keep it there for a minute. The five-step drawing procedure. Remember the key word. AGREE, the acronym AGREE. Each letter stands for something. AGREE. I'm going to read to you, then we're going to go through it again. When you're drawing a weapon from the holster, you need to make sure that the clothes are not in the way. So we're going to move the clothes away. Away, the letter A, the first letter in the acronym AGREE. The second one is G. Get a firm grip. Grip is the key word, G. Get a firm grip. The letter R is next. Retrieve. Retrieve the gun from the holster. That's the letter R. The next letter is E. Enable and present the gun. Enable and present the gun. And then the second E is verify, then engage the target if necessary. So let's do that again. The acronym AGREE stands for move the clothes away. Now, if you're carrying it in the open, there's still a possibility for your shirt or whatever to possibly be grabbed in the excitement while you're trying to get the weapon out of your holster. So you want to make sure that the clothing is clear from the gun. So you want to move the clothes away from the weapon. Once the weapon is clear, you want to get a firm grip on the gun. And I'm not just talking holding onto the gun. I'm saying a firm but proper grip, and I'll show that in the video in just a second. Retrieve the gun from the holster. It's going to come out of the holster. Enable and present the gun. What I mean by enable is if it's got a safety feature on it or whatever you have to do to get the gun ready to fire. Some of you people don't carry around in the chamber, so you have to enable the gun by putting a round in the chamber and then present it to the threat. And once you verify, then you can engage, shoot if you have to, okay? So be familiar with more than one firearm as well, if possible, and for different dress situations. We just had a competition last night, excellent competition. Had some new people in there, and they did very well. But what it does is it enables you to shoot different guns under stress and time with accuracy. So it puts you under stress. You get to see what you can handle, see where your weak spots are, and you can practice. But now, back to the video. I'm going to move the mic if you hear some noise. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got my weapon here. What's the first thing we do when we get our weapon? We're going to check to make sure it's not loaded, right? So I got my trustful 1911 here. Love this gun. It's my go-to gun. It just works fantastic. There is no magazine in the gun, but I will check the chamber. Chamber is clear. Magazine well is clear. This gun is clear. I'm going to now put it back in my holster. But for purposes of this demonstration, my 1911 for this illustration will be locked and cocked with the safety on to illustrate some parts of the acronym AGREE. All right, in the video, I've got the weapon in my holster. And the first letter of the acronym is A. Move the clothing away. If I've got a jacket on, I'm going to sweep the jacket to the side, get it away from my clothing. If I've got a t-shirt on and it's covering it, we'll say, I'm going to use the other hand and lift up my shirt to clear the weapon. I'm clearing the clothing away from the weapon so I can get a proper grip on the gun. I'm getting a firm grip on the gun. That's the second letter, G. Not only am I getting a firm grip on the gun, but I'm getting a proper grip. And I'll show that grip to you when I retrieve the weapon. Which brings us to the next letter, R. Retrieve the gun from the holster. I now have a firm, proper grip. I'm retrieving it. And let me show you in the video what I mean by a proper grip. If you'll notice, as you're looking in the video, the gun is pointed directly at you. An improper grip would be a crooked gun. I'm pointing the gun at you, but it's canted because it's not in the hand properly. It needs to be in your hand properly with a firm grip, okay? So we clear the clothing, acquire the grip, retrieve the gun from the holster, and we're going to enable it. In this illustration, my 1911 has the hammer cocked with the safety on, so I'm going to enable the weapon. I just took the safety off the gun. It is ready to go. And it's presented to the threat in front of me, in my line of sight. Then, if I determine that the threat has to be stopped, I will shoot if necessary. Okay? So that's agree. Clear the clothing away from the weapon. Acquire the grip properly, firmly. You're going to retrieve the weapon from the holster, engage it or enable it. I'm sorry, you're going to enable the weapon so that it's ready to fire. Or rack the slide, take the safety off, or whatever you have to do, and then you're going to have it in your line of sight, at your threat, and engage the target if you have to. So the key and acronym is AGREE, away, grip, retrieve, enable, and engage. Check it out on K10's YouTube channel, probably come Monday. Go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com, we'll probably have it linked up there too, and you can see and watch this video again, write down some notes, and practice in the mirror, ladies and gentlemen. Just do it slow. Go as slow as you have to go until you get it perfected, and then go faster and faster and faster and faster, okay? So that's it for our PEP section. That was five-step drawing procedure for a person who's carrying a weapon either concealed or in the open. If you have any questions, give us a call here at 254-773-1400. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Check out all the pages and give us a call if you have a question concerning that, or if you have any comments or any other tips or tricks that we can share with the public. Okay, Paul, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be going over our topic of interest section, which will be word, phrases, expressions, and acronyms. I just gave you one acronym. the word agree. We've got many others, and I've got some phrases that I've written up to help us train and to remember things and just make it easier. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We have a lot going on here. And ladies and gentlemen, lots of people wonder or doubt their ability to function well in a seminar or a training session. And that's not the problem. The problem is finding an instructor who knows what they're doing and who is able to convey these skills to his or her students. Now, if you have any doubts about yourself, I want you to go and refer to the aaronsgunshop.com's testimonial page. You'll get to watch, listen, and read testimonials from prior students of ours stating they came in nervous, and at the end of the day, they craved more training because they were loving it so much. They all broke through the barrier of self-doubt and became empowered with the knowledge that they can use their weapon and function under stress. Now, if you've wanted to take a weapons class but were too unsure to commit, I challenge you to review the testimonial page at the aaronsgunshop.com site. You can do this. You really can. Just go to aaronsgunshop.com. And watch the videos. We've got the ladies training seminar on the 29th. That'll be, it's a blast. They just have a blast. So tell everybody you know, tell all the ladies you know, hey, go sign up. If you've been wanting to do some training, now's the time to do it. It includes a great barbecue lunch, and it's a lot of fun, and we do a lot of good training. Okay, we got the shoot house. We go room to room. We start clearing it out. We do multiple targets. We do malfunctions, round robins, mindset, philosophy, all sorts of good stuff. So either give us a call for questions, give me an email, or go to the website directly at aaronsgunshop.com. Okay, our topic of interest section today. I talked to you about one acronym, the word AGREE. And hopefully, if I was to call any one of you up, you'll have your notes and you know what the letters for AGREE stand for. But I won't do that. But we're going to continue on a little bit more. Words, phrases, expressions, and acronyms. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best training aids I can think of is acronyms. If the acronym is catchy enough, it makes it easier to remember, which makes what the acronym stands for easier to remember as well. First, As you're well aware, I'm a stickler for definitions. So let's start this off by seeing what an acronym really means. It's a noun. It's an abbreviation formed from the initial letters of other words and pronounced as a word in most cases. A perfect example of this would be NASA. National Aeronautics Space Administration, NASA. Another perfect word would be agree. We agree, you know, we're going to clear the clothing away, just like I talked to you about before. Those are two perfect examples. The next teaching aid would be a catchphrase. The definition of a catchphrase, once again, it's a noun. It's a well-known sentence or phrase. Synonyms for that would be like a saying, a quotation, quote, slogan, motto, or a tagline. Okay, so what I've got here is a list of acronyms and their meanings and some catchphrases, which I have written to help the student remember key things when it comes to handling a handgun. Some of these acronyms you may know, some of them you won't. As for the phrases, well, let's see how much you like those. I don't care how silly or stupid it sounds. If it works, that's good enough for me. My list here. Some of these you're going to know. Some of them we talked about, but it's good to go over a few of them first, and then we'll get into some of the other ones that we might not have talked about before, and then we'll do our catchphrases. First one is Bob, B-O-B, bug out bag, or your 72-hour bag. B-O-V, bug out vehicle. Next one is B-O-L, bug out location. Let's put all this together here. Let's say something goes down and you got to just get out of town real quick. Well, hopefully you're going to have that bug out bag that's got about 3 days worth of supplies for you to live so that you can run to your bug out vehicle that should be in good repair, ready to go with no less than half a tank of fuel in it at all times so that you can throw the bag in the trunk, get in your bug out vehicle so you can go to your bug out location, wherever that is, away from the area that's being compromised at the moment. So bug out bag, bug out vehicle, bug out location. Another one that's very important is EDC. Everyday carry. For example, I carry my little MERS, my man purse, okay? And in that MERS, I have my essentials for daily living, my glasses, maybe some aspirin. I put my keys in there. Whatever I personally use, I put in my bag, okay? So that would be an everyday carry bag. Now this one, everybody should know, I think. SHTF. SHTF. I wonder what that means. I'll say this. Stuff hits the fan. Let's just change the word stuff to something else. Stuff hits the fan. So SHTF. The next one, I like this one. SWOT. I don't know how you'd say it. SWAT, not SWAT with an A, but SWAT with an O. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Basically surveying the land. What kind of strengths do I have? Weaknesses do I have? What opportunities are there available? And what kind of threats are out there? The next one would be RAWL, W-R-O-L, without the rule of law, when all chaos breaks out. This one's a good one to remember. The rule of threes. The rule of threes. 3 minutes without air. 3 hours without shelter. 3 days without water. 3 weeks without food. So I guess you're in pretty deep doo-doo if you're over 3 minutes without air, over 3 hours without shelter, over 3 days without water, and over 3 weeks without food. Of course, that will change and be different from each person. CB. Citizens Band, Citizens Band Radio. CCW, even though we don't call that here in Texas, it's a concealed carry weapon. We call it license to carry or concealed carry weapon. A lot of places call that concealed carries weapons badge, concealed carry weapons license. Ours is an LTC, license to carry. CERT, C-E-R-T, CERT. Community Emergency Response Team. CAMO, communications, COMO stands for communications. EMP, electromagnetic pulse. Now, why am I talking about all these? Man, if one of these interests you, I can't go into all the specifics about these, but if you hear something that's like, that's interesting, now you know the abbreviation, you can probably Google it up real fast and get a whole plethora of information when it comes to that particular topic. Like EMP, electromagnetic pulse. Check it out. For all you gun lovers out there, Full Metal Jacket, FMJ. FMJ is Full Metal Jacket. GPS, Global Positioning System. The next one I'm about to read to you, I read a little blurb on it, and it's kind of a good idea. Acronym is ICE, I-C-E, in case of emergency. What they were saying was, if you're in an accident and somebody's able to access your phone and they're looking through the phone numbers to try and find a point of contact, if you have the preface of these three letters, I-C-E, in case of emergency, contact this person, it may help out first responders get to somebody they need to talk to quicker than searching through the whole phone list and asking, hey, do you know this person, so on and so forth. So putting ICE in front of some type of name or number may help speed up the process. LEO, law enforcement officer. MIL-SPEC, which is very important to me and a bunch of people out there, is military specifications. I want my equipment to be MIL-SPEC, all interchangeable. MOLE or MOLLE, M-O-L-L-E, that'd be modular, lightweight, load-carrying equipment. MRE, what that is, the MOLLE is like, see tactical vests with all the little loops in them where you can attach different types of equipment onto it, pouches, holsters, so on and so forth, and conform it to your personal likes. MRE would be meal ready to eat. This one should be on all emergency radios or radios in general, but NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, I guess they give you emergency weather. NVG, night vision goggles. OPSEC, very important. Operational security, OPSEC. OTC, over the counter. SOP, standard operating procedure. And this is a very good one as well. STOP, stop. And it stands for stop, think, observe, and plan. Stop, think, observe, plan. Just don't react, respond to a situation. And another one that's extremely important is TP. Very important paperwork. Toilet paper. So those are just some acronyms that are common. If you don't know what they are, look them up. If you do know what they are, but you want more information on them, that's a quick way to reference them. And let's talk about some catchphrases here. I wrote these catchphrases to help my students learn or remember what to do in certain situations. The first one is, when in the fight, keep your line of sight. And what am I saying there? If you're being aggressed upon by somebody and you have to draw your weapon, when you're in the fight, keep the line of sight. You're focused on the threat. The gun comes out of the holster. The proper grip is made. The gun comes into your line of sight and you do whatever you feel is necessary. So when in the fight, keep your line of sight. Number two, what I don't need is a double feed. And the reason why that one's important is this. If you keep that little catchphrase in your head, you remember there's certain things you have to do to minimize the potential of a double feed. And it's just a little fun catchphrase. It makes you think, hold a gun properly, make sure the gun's clean, make sure it's oiled, make sure the magazines are working, so on and so forth. Number three, the gist is in the wrist. A lot of problems can happen with the wrist. You can roll the wrist, flinch the wrist, limp wrist. So if the gist is in the wrist, it reminds you, hey, that wrist can be a weak spot or a weak link in your proper handling of the firearm. Number four, the finger rolls in trigger control. This one is really important. However, it's hard to describe verbally. So if you take one of my classes, I explain it. But basically what it is like this. If you have a double action trigger, let's just talk about a basic revolver, and you're going to pull the trigger. A lot of people put the finger on the trigger with the first joint, which is fine, and they're pulling it through. But sometimes they can over pull, which causes their hand to curl and makes the gun go in one direction or the other, or they pull it too hard and it makes it pull in the other direction. So by using the proper finger control and roll, it keeps the trigger being pulled towards the center line of the gun without being pulled left or right. Hard to explain verbally. Excellent tool to learn if I can show it to you manually. And the last one, number five, there needs to be a calm in the palm. And what I mean by that one is I get a lot of people doing death grips on their guns, and the guns start shaking, and they start sweating, and the guns start slipping out of their hands. The grip should be a political handshake, firm but not aggressive, okay? Firm but not aggressive. So if you can remember those catchphrases and those acronyms, hopefully it can help you out down the road. Okay, so that's the topic of interest, and you can always go back to our replay, our podcast, listen to the program again on aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio page. And this show will be replaying probably after 2 o'clock, and you can listen to it all again, and you can listen to our past shows via our podcast. Okay. Now, tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to set up for our product spotlight. And once again, our good friends there, ANC Firearms, Arch Koontz, the owner, we've got a great product. We're going to talk about that. But I'll tell you what, Paul, let me get my paperwork set up here. Give me another break, and we'll be back on the other side in about a minute and a half. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We had, like I said before, a lot going on in the month of May and in the first part of June here that I want to tell you about. Next Saturday, most probably, we're going to have a special guest host. I'm very excited about that if it comes to pass. That'll be Police Chief out of Cameron, Police Chief Randy Dixon. He's a plethora of information. Great guy. I've been on the show a couple times. You can always check out his interviews via podcast. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio page, and go back to our past shows, and you'll get to see him there. Or go to the YouTube, KTM YouTube channel, and you'll find him there on the on that channel as well. May 22nd, and he'll be doing the show also on The Ranch, 105.1 FM The Ranch, at 10 o'clock to 11. So it'll be a lot of good stuff. Check him out. May 22nd, Sunday at 2 p.m., we've got a license to carry class. You can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the LTC page to check that out. And May 28th, Saturday at 2:45, both those classes should be listed there on the website, and you can sign up for them. They include all the requirements necessary for the state for you to get your certificate. May 29th, ladies. Once again, Sunday, ladies only self-defense and home training seminar, home defense training seminar. That's a great time. It's a blast. Make sure you sign up fast for that one so you don't miss out. And then on June 11th and 12th at the Premier Gun Show at the Mayborn Center, I'll be there with the crew. And on the 11th, we'll be doing a live remote from the gun show. We'll be having our laser training booth. Once again, come on out there and try your hand at shooting the laser pistol and seeing how quick you can do the shots and how accurately your shots are. Also, ladies and gentlemen, if you can help us out here, if you have some land good for cattle grazing and are wanting to lease it to maintain your ag exemption, please call the following number, 512-914-7110. We've got excellent folks ready to lease today. So you know, if you've got minor fence repair, that'll be okay too. Call 512-914-7110. Today's product spotlight, once again, my good friend Arnch Koontz, the owner of ANC Firearms, has allowed me to talk about one of the guns he has on his shelf right at this moment. Today, I will quickly review the Taurus Public Defender. If you've been looking for one, you'll want to race out to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer and buy it before someone else does. I broadcasted this on the FM station at 10 o'clock, so if it's not there, that's why. But these are hard to get, and they're good guns. This is an excellent gun for what it's designed for. Now call Arch, Dennis, Clint, or Mike at ANC Firearms now at 254-983-4417. 983-4417. See if they still got it on the shelf. Call them up. They got a whole bunch of other stuff too, or they can order you another one. If you've never been there, you're going to love it. And once you get there, it's an old bank with an old vault, complete with wooden squeaky floors, plaster and brick walls, and the atmosphere is like that of the late 1800s. And as I said many times before, Arch has a way of getting guns that everyone wants somehow, some way. I don't know how he does it. And has a large selection of handguns, rifles, and shotguns, too. So call Arch at 254-983-4417 or just stop by and check out all that they have to offer, especially the Taurus Public Defender that I'm about to discuss with you. And what I did was I've shot these before. I've sold these before. I know people will have these, really enjoy them. But I wanted another perspective. So I went to Gun Digest and found an article written by Dick Jones on March 2nd, 2015, talking about the Taurus Public Defender. It's a review. I'm only going to take portions of the article. It gets to the brass tacks of what I'm thinking about here, so let me read it to you now. What makes the Defender attractive is the level of versatility it offers. With birdshot, it would be a spectacular snake killer and a devastating defense firearm at very short ranges. For an apartment dweller, the potential for a stray round could be disastrous, and by judicial choice of shot size, unwanted penetration could be negated. Most defensive situations occur at less than 3 yards, and backup 45 Colt loads could certainly be loaded for subsequent shots. Of course, not all handguns are purchased for urban defense. Many are used as protection from both two- and four-legged aggressors. In the event you need a broad-based revolver capable of handling a lot of different situations, the Judge has real merit. The Public Defender Judge. The real argument for the merit of the polymer Judge is versatility. In the same cylinder, the user can carry two number 9 shot snake loads and three hard-hitting 250 grain 45 caliber bullets. For the backpacker, this means real utility. The time it takes to swing out the cylinder and switch from a bear or pig stopper to a snake dispatching load is less than 2 seconds. Okay, so it's a very handy firearm. Let me give you some specs on it. The Taurus Public Defender caliber is 45 long Colt and a 410 gauge shotgun shell. Capacity is 5 rounds. The barrel is 2.5 inches with a shallow rifling. Its sights are a high visibility front and a windage adjustable rear. Frame is steel and polymer. The length is 7.88 inches. Height is 4.16 inch. The weight is only 23 ounces. And if you go look at my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of the gun we're actually talking about right now. It's a pretty one. And you can check their call, Arch and the gang there, 983-4417. See if they still got it on the shelf. And like I said, if they don't have that, they can get you another one, order one, or something else they can show you. But let me tell you something else about this gun here, the Public Defender. I've had one, shot it, done things with it, but what I like about it is that it's not that much bigger than one of these 38 snubs you put in your pocket or in your hip or your pocket or anything like that. It's a little bit bigger, of course, but it's not that much bigger. And with the versatility that kind of gun gives you, it's nice to know you've got it. For example, I carry a North American Arms mini revolver. And I kind of do the same thing. I got 2 shells in there for rat shot, and the other 3 are hard-hitting 22 Magnum ballistic tip bullets. So if for some reason I see a snake in the yard, I say, okay, no problem, switch the cylinder. Actually, my first 2 shots are rat shot, or if I've got to change it up, I'll put one of the hard-hitting bullets. But, you know, you can take out the cylinder, rotate it, use rat shot, or if you have to defend yourself, use the ballistic tip shell for the 22 mag. Same thing with the 45 long Colt and the 410 shotgun shells. So if you're carrying your Defender Judge, and depending on what happens, you can open up the cylinder like the article said, rotate the cylinder, and get the necessary round to get the job done. So go check it out at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. You all know where it is. If you don't, just give them a call, 254-983-4417. Check out the photo of the gun we're talking about on aaronsgunshop.com Facebook page, and you can take a look at the picture there. So that's that. Now, everybody, what we're going to do is we're going to play a previously recorded interview with Super Ed, and we still haven't debated, we still haven't figured out what color cape he's going to wear. And I leave that open. If you got some suggestions for Super Ed, let us know. But what color cape he has. But Paul, you're going to be playing a pre-recorded interview with Ed Laughlin and me, and we're going to be talking about concealed carry. And I'm going to be bringing up a few different topics, and he's going to give his answers, and you can, you know, do with it what you'd like. So until I talk to you next week, if I don't talk to you, it'll be Police Chief from Cameron, Randy Dixon, or it'll be me, but I'm hoping it's going to be the chief, and he'll have a lot of information to give you. So until then, keep your powder dry, and God bless. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. And Ed, welcome to the studio. Say hi to everybody.
Matt, appreciate it very much. And I'm not sure if this studio is big enough for our egos, all in one studio. But, you know, maybe it is. We'll see.
All right. I'm sure we'll do fine. Ed, is there anything, you know, I don't have a bio on you. Everybody knows you. But do you want to say, why don't you give us a little information about yourself real quick?
Well, we do have 30 more minutes of the show. Is that right?
Yeah, we got 23 minutes.
Well, I've been practicing. I'm a Baylor Law School graduate, University of Texas undergrad, political science major, went to Temple High School, graduated from there. I've been practicing law since 1982, so that would put it 34 years, I guess, now. And primarily my private practice, I've been in business since 1985, and I have three offices in Temple, Waco, and Killeen.
So, easy to say, you know what you're doing. You've got a great history. You've got a lot of experience. You've seen it. Both sides, and you just know what's going on in the sense of you can give some very good in-depth answers.
What I can do, if I don't know it, I know how to find the information and answers, and I also can refer you to somebody or a client to somebody else that if I, because the law is very specific, and I can't be an expert in every area of law.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And we all understand that. But what I like is when somebody says to me, I don't know that, I know where to get it, but I don't want somebody giving me a BS answer. I want straight.
Okay? I understand. Let me ask you a question. I'm looking at our monitor here. Are we live on the internet?
Not live. This okay. Is recording.
All right.
This
okay.
You
all
good
right.
With that?
Okay.
All right. Now I'm streaming live over my website.
But, okay. Well, I didn't know that. I need to know that. Hello, guys out there.
Now, Ed, what I normally do with my guests is I usually give them a set of questions.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me these 2 minutes before
two
we
minutes
were on
before.
The air.
Normally, I do that. Last time I give you questions, though, you lost them on me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to keep them this time. But I know you're good at your game, and these questions are going to be very easy for you. But normally what I do is I give the guests some questions so they can give a good answer.
Sure.
But I know you got a plethora of information up there.
Yeah.
And this is pertaining to license to carry, mm-hmm. a lot of it. And there's a lot of things that I see because I teach this class all the time. I go, that's interesting. How would they look at that? And I come from a family of attorneys. My grandfather, my father, my brother, my cousins, all attorneys. I can spin verbiage like the rest of them. I can make you look a saint and turn you into a devil, okay? It's all based on wording, and that's some of the things we're going to go over. So with that, with the time we've got here, Ed, I'm going to ask you some questions, okay?
Okay.
Let's start off with this. I just noticed this recently. I'm against these signs, the 30-06 and 30-07 signs, which tells you.
Yeah.
And here's one that's perplexing to me. Apartment complexes all over are putting up Penal Code 30-07 signs, mm-hmm. which restricts your open carry. This confuses me because it appears that management does not want people carrying in the open. But everywhere on the property, except for in buildings, are not considered premises, which then defeats the purpose of the sign, because once you're in the premise, it's most likely going to be your apartment. So the question is, if I'm checking the grounds out to see if it's a place that I want to live, am I in violation of Penal Code 30-7 if they post those signs?
Well, you probably are, but I think the chances of a prosecution aren't real high. And, it is confusing. And I tell you what makes it even more confusing is every 2 years they change things.
That's right, that's right.
And so, right today I was looking at the calendar right as we were starting to talk behind me. Today's March the 28th, 2016. In 2 more years, if you're watching this video or listening to this this online on audio, what we may say today may not be what is correct 2 years from now.
But so now, I got to raise my eyebrow at you right now because I know the law when it comes to premises. And so I'm a little confused at your immediate response that with confidence that I would be in violation, although you may not get convicted of it. Premises means in the building or a portion of a building. It does not mean the grounds. And since I come into the parking lot area of an apartment complex and it's not gated off and posted there, it's posted in random areas like the post box, how am I in violation of that?
Well, it also may be, of course, you're not a tenant yet, so you haven't signed a lease,
exactly.
So you have not, you don't know what the lease says. But I will tell you, the lease will say also anywhere the premises would mean the property, mean the parking lot. It would mean, at the laundry room or at the playground area,
so you would
or
say,
the pool.
So you would say the fine line is there if you're a signed tenant. Then those rules apply as like you're an employee. You understand the rules of the company policy manual. But a person coming to check the place out would most likely not be in violation unless the management said, hey, what are you doing? And they actually verbally told you. Then you have a verbal command and you have to conceal it or leave the premise.
I think so.
Okay. I would think that would be the same way, but I just wanted to hear the expert say it. That's
all right.
All right, moving on here. Let's talk reckless injury versus civilly liable.
Mm-hmm.
Are there boundaries of where civilly liable turns into reckless injury? And this would be covered under Penal Code 905. Let me give you an example of what I mean.
What penal code again?
Penal Code 905, reckless injury.
I've got my computer here, folks. Well, I'm not on camera. I keep looking at the camera.
We're live. You may not
okay.
see it. But Penal Code 905, reckless injury of an innocent third person. And let me give you two examples that I give to students in class. And actually, I did this with you, Ed, when you were in class one time. I said, okay, there's a bad guy, and I'm freaking out, and there's 10 people behind the bad guy, and I freak out, and I start shooting my gun, and I have 5 people dead behind the bad guy, and the bad guy walks away.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to, there's the bad guy, I got a clean shot, center mass, but it bounced off a vertebrae or a collarbone, and it goes into the person over to the right about 10 yards, into their cheek because of a deflection of a bullet. Now, one I would think is reckless. The other is civilly liable. Can you clarify, talk
well,
about
Well, I mean, I can read Texas Penal Code 9.05, and anybody that's out there can look this up. You just look up 9.05, the Texas Penal Code, and it says, even though an actor is justified under this chapter in threatening or using force of deadly force against another, if in doing so he also recklessly injures or kills an innocent third party, that's what you're talking about, third person, rather.
Yes.
The justification afforded by this chapter is unavailable in a prosecution for the reckless injury or killing of the innocent third person.
In street terms, that means you're screwed. But what I'm trying to get at is, when does it become reckless, do you think, as an opinion? You can't say specifically.
Law enforcement has this problem. They pull a gun. And, it's a split-second decision, and it's the same way with a private citizen that's open carrying or concealed carrying. I mean, you've got to be trained. You do need to know these laws, but your best defense is not to pull the trigger, and if you do pull the trigger, you've got to be prepared for what may occur, and probably there's going to be both civil and criminal possible penalties.
Can I push you for an opinion?
Yeah.
Because I know you can't make a definite answer. If I'm shooting directly at the threat and the bullet does bounce off and goes in somebody's eye, would you consider that reckless from your opinion?
I would think if you had a 9mm and you shoot them and it bounces off or ricochets off a bone or whatever, I don't think that's going to be reckless. But if you empty your magazine,
yes.
Then I think, and nothing hits the person that you're aiming at, then I think you've got some issues.
I try to clarify to my students how what's considered a reckless act as a civilly liable act. And I use that example, the same person, multiple shots missing, and I got dead people all around, as compared to a clean shot, but it bounced off a bone. You never know what a bullet's
going to do. And it also always depends on who the victim is, you know. I mean, and we got some great prosecutors here in Bell County, county attorney and district attorney, and they're going to weigh those very, very carefully and take a look at, you know, and everybody that has a license to carry, obviously, are law-abiding people. They're, you know, you can't get one of those licenses unless you're law-abiding and paying your taxes and all the different.
Now, you could be law-abiding rules and all that kind of stuff, but you can still do something stupid. I've seen lots of people who are questionable in their smarts may have the ability to pass the test, but I question sometimes, hey, you know, do you have the common sense? You may have the smart to answer yes or no, but do you have the common sense on the situation? So I try to push into. And here's the other thing, too. This course used to be a long course. I think it started originally 15 hours pre-test. Then they dropped it down to 10 hours.
Crazy.
Then it's 5
hours. I know.
So what I've got to do is take 5 hours. And in our instructor course, they tell us, you need to pick out the stuff that's important and give it to them. Because I got 4 hours or 4.5 hours, something like that. And then I got an hour left for paperwork and testing. Okay. So here I got to cram into these guys and gals' heads. And I'm dramatic in my scenario. So it sticks. I'm very animated in what I do, because if you just read this stuff, it's going to go in one ear and out the other, and they don't realize they sign affidavits that state they understand and know the law. And that's, and you're an attorney, if you were to look that up and say, you signed it, you know what you're supposed to do, yet you didn't do it anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And, you know, and just because you may remember what you taught them 4 years ago, you know, before you have to renew your license, doesn't mean you're going to remember it at the time. And, like, we're going to a gun range this afternoon. It's my father-in-law's 80th birthday. He loves to shoot. So we're taking him. And you know, being able to remember exactly what, you know, and just being reckless. I mean, I'm not used to a gun myself even now still. I don't go out and shoot regularly. I need to. I know. Don't chastise me.
I didn't say a word, Ed. I know I looked at you weird, but I didn't say that.
I'm packing right now.
Okay, very good. This is good stuff. I like to hear from somebody outside of my circle. All right, let's talk about now Penal Code 904. Threat as justifiable force. I think this one happens a lot, Ed. This is one of those ones that can happen a lot.
I actually printed that one ahead of time. You said deadly force?
Threat.
Is that what you said?
Threat is justifiable force.
Justifiable. Now, 904?
904. If a person feels threatened, that person can brandish a weapon to the end of the situation, but can't that open the door to legal problems potentially? And also, what would be your recommendations after an event like this that takes place? Let me do it again after reading the question. Let me give you a scenario.
Okay. Give me an example.
I'm on the street. Some dude wants to, you know, take my wallet or something. And all of a sudden I see him coming up and I know what the intentions are. He's about to rough me up. Mm-hmm. And I open up my jacket to show my weapon. And I say, partner, you don't want to go there. He sees the gun and he goes, that's cool, man, and backs away. That was threat as justifiable force. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to have you answer is this. Is not, correct me if I'm wrong, brandishing a weapon what I just did, and also brandishing a weapon in a very wild motion, aren't those two words the same for the same thing?
I think it is. And, you know, again, these laws are created by people that many times don't have the expertise, and it's just like in Congress in Washington, D.C., half the stuff is passed that nobody even reads ahead of time. And then they have to go back to the next legislative session to clean stuff up and clear it up. And I've never been a legislator, so I can, you know, cast stones all I want to on that. I mean, I just pulled up that 9.01, is that what you said?
04
of the Penal Code, and you know, it's justified when the use of force is justified by this chapter. Okay. So they defined it by using the same word.
I know. We're going to talk about legalese in a minute.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying
and
to
do. And also, you're not necessarily threatening to cause death or serious bodily injury.
It's threat.
And you're not producing it necessarily. You're just displaying
it. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's break this down, Ed. Let's break this down. Clarify for me. I'm pretty confident in my understanding, but I may be totally wrong here. If I showed you a gun in an aggressive manner, that's called brandishing.
Mm-hmm.
If I open up my jacket so you see the gun, is not, correct me if I'm wrong, the technical term for it, brandishing the weapon.
That's right. Okay. And it's also the 9.04 says a caveat, as long as the actor's purpose, that's you,
me,
is limited to creating an apprehension that he'll use deadly force if necessary. That does not right. constitute the use of
that's
deadly
right.
force.
So
you're just kind of saying, hey, I'm ready, you know, it'd be...
Okay, so yeah. we cleared up brandishing means the same thing, because some people are under the term that doing this is bad, doing this is okay.
Yeah.
Although you're within the law to show your weapon, we have a situation now. Let's move to the next section of the question. The bad guy saw me brandish my weapon as a threat is justifiable for us, and he says, okay, I'm out of here. He leaves. What do you think, in your wisdom, Ed, should the person, the actor who got aggressed upon, should do now once he brandished the weapon to the bad guy? What should he do, do you think?
Well, it might be a good idea to at least make a police report. I would think that would be a good thing. Now, you know, you got to have about an hour to wait for the police to come.
Mm-hmm.
and wait.
Business is good.
Yeah, and wait for all the other things that occur. And then you got to, you know, they'll say, why did you call me, sir? You know, it's been an hour or 2 hours since the incident occurred. But, I mean, you know, you can say, well, listen, I listened to a radio show one time, and the lawyer said to call the police, so that's what I'm doing.
I have access to information that tells me what happens on both sides.
Yeah.
And basically what happens from experience is the bad guy ends up calling up mm-hmm. and making a report
sure.
on the good guy.
Yeah.
Okay? That happened to me personally on a job I was doing. It had nothing to do with the gun. It just had to do with he thought I was being aggressive, and it wasn't. I was being very apprehensive about what this guy was doing to me, but he flipped it around on me. So it can definitely happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did we finish that?
And many times the first person to make that call is the one that the police are going to believe.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Regardless of what the true facts are.
All right, Ed, let's go on here.
I'm trying to decide if this is my best side, Matt. I have a best side?
You normally sit over here, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I see in gun magazines and other forms of media gun legal services. I went to one just recently, and it left a very bad taste in my mouth. I tried very hard to convey to my students that using a handgun for self-defense should be the last thing to do.
Exactly.
The gun legal service that I went to had an attorney saying things that gave me the impression, sure, go ahead, the law makes it legal. The policy you get will cover you. I saw nothing but a program trying to make a buck or a lot of bucks by making people feel, no problem, we'll handle it. Just sign here on the dotted line.
But what amount of money does it protect you to? I mean,
Wait. Yeah. Can you make a comment onto that? And Ed, I really felt slime when I was there. A few people I know made the same comment. So what I want to get at is this.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that, do we?
Well, you don't, and I've seen advertisements for these programs, and I've actually wanted to go to one just to see what was going on. It reminds me of the just regular trust seminars that they have. You get postcards in the mail, you know, get a free dinner at whatever hotel it is, you know, the Hilton Garden Inn, and you sit in on a two-hour thing, you get to eat for free or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously selling trust there. And on here, they're selling some sort of insurance.
The bottom line would be is why would an attorney coming from Houston be willing to spend his time, money,
yeah.
energy to talk to you? He wants
Certainly.
To make a buck.
Of course. That is that. But you know, that doesn't mean necessarily the product's not a good product.
That was going to be my next
question. It just means, you know, if I did I used to do seminars about bankruptcy law, okay, and people would come because they're in debt and they don't know what to do, and, you know, I'd tell them about it, and I'd say, oh, by the way, you know, this has happened to practice bankruptcy law. And, you know, sometimes people would hire me, sometimes not. I wouldn't talk about their individual specific cases. They would have to schedule an appointment to come in and see me. But, again, I wasn't doing those seminars just to educate the public or just because I'm such a wonderful guy. I am, by the way.
That's different, though,
yeah.
Because when you put this piece of the puzzle in there of guns causing death, that's a major issue changer,
huge.
You know?
It is.
Bankruptcy is different than pulling a gun out and saying, we'll cover you, because I've learned when you get these policies, especially on your insurance, oh, yeah, we cover everything, Okay, I got this problem, so we don't cover that. I'm like, what? I'm paying all this money, you told me
yeah.
you cover it, and, oh, you got this stipulation, you want my money, but you don't want to help me. A lot of times that happens. I'm not saying it's every time. So that was a bad taste in my mouth, and I was just kind of interested to see what you thought about it. A week or two ago, I talked about the word reasonable as it pertains to license to carry. Now, what may be reasonable to one person may not be reasonable to the 12 people judging you for your actions.
Exactly. Okay.
What can you tell us about the word reasonable and how to apply reasonableness to a situation in a way that others will agree with you? The person decides in a second. The jury has 6 months. So tell me what you think about that, Ed.
Well, let me look it up first. I was going to look up the definition under the Texas Penal Code. I actually came a little bit prepared for that one because there is a, let's see, general provisions, and I don't know if I can find this that quickly, but 9.42 of the Texas Penal Code is involving deadly force to protect property.
Yes, sir.
You know, people feel differently, like if it's to protect you, a person, deadly force is a little bit better, but you know, you can use deadly force if someone is stealing.
That's correct.
Or breaking into your home or stealing your car or taking your lawnmower. It doesn't have to be a really big deal. And 9.42 of the Penal Code says that a person is justified in using deadly force against another to protect land or tangible, movable property if he would be justified in using force against the other under another section, 9.41. You got to look that up. When and to the degree he reasonably believes. It's like you said, one guy reasonably, all you got to say, I reasonably believe that. You know, I mean,
yeah, but you got 12 people who may counter that.
That deadly force is immediately necessary. So again, what is it? You know, if they're stealing your lawnmower, is that really necessary to use deadly force? Is it reasonable?
You're about to steal some thunder on me when it comes to merchandise like that.
Guns in your store.
That's a different story. We've had that situation. I don't want to go there. But keep going on the reasonableness, though.
Okay. Well, so, you know, and the next part of this, I'll just read the next part. To prevent the other's imminent commission of arson, burglary, robbery, or aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, or criminal mischief during the nighttime. So nighttime rules are a little different than daytime rules. Or to prevent the other who is fleeing immediately after committing all these burglaries, robberies, and aggravated robberies and all these things from escaping with property, and he reasonably believes that the land or property cannot be protected or recovered by any other means. So that what that means is, I mean, if you think they're going to take it and you'll never see it again.
Would you agree, you can disagree, obviously, that not only is a license to carry a license to carry a gun, but it's a license to carry acting skills, because when you go to court, you got to make sure that the jury believes that you reasonably thought that that was for real. But if you're going like, I'm packing heat, like this attorney tells me over here in this this thing we're talking about giving insurance, go ahead, no problem. But if you reasonably believe, hey man, I had got no other choice, my head's about to go into the bow of the boat, that's the only thing you got for defense.
And I hate to say this on the radio, especially that this is going to be posted, but you know, if you shoot somebody and they land outside the house, please drag them across your threshold.
I don't want to do that.
I mean, because I mean that is, you know, I mean seriously, that could weigh on a civil lawsuit. It could prevent you from a criminal prosecution.
Mm. See, I personally wouldn't. I would wait until they came through the threshold. A lot of people say, "Oh, what do I do? This guy's at the door." I said, "Well, just stand there with your handgun. As soon as he breaks through, you're legal. I mean, do what you got to do." But. Yeah. I'm not worried about it until
but at the same time, you don't want to kill some drug crazed 17-year-old. I mean, you know, just because they're stupid enough,
I had two drug kids or whatever, drunk kids, steal AKs from my shop one night, and they are lucky by 5 minutes I didn't take them down.
Yeah.
So you take stuff from me, especially when it comes to that gun shop. We're gonna stop.
We had a college kid at Lubbock that came home drunk, and he tried to enter the door. Two doors down from where he really lived, and the owner of the house shot him and killed him. And he, you know, I mean, obviously, his intent was not to do anything.
I read a story about that too.
Yeah.
Okay, we're running out of time, so let me move on here real quick. God forbid someone had to use deadly force to stop someone and the police arrive. What do we say? What do we do so as not to self-incriminate?
Well, you don't say anything. First of all, you know, you have the right to remain silent. I suggest you use that. I suggest you talk with legal counsel before you say anything at all.
When a cop's on the site, though, do you just shut up or you say, "Officer, respectfully, I want."
You just tell them, yeah. You don't listen. If you whatever you tell them, you're possibly going to incriminate yourself and not even realize you're doing
right.
it. And so it's just, I mean, it's not like they're out to get you, but, you know, they've got a job to do, and you need to prevent them from using whatever you may say to twist it to make it sound like you've committed a crime.
Okay. Moving fast, time's running out. I want to go over two last questions. And the first one, let's get a quick answer if you can. Negligence and gross negligence. Can you give us examples of what they might be to us in the LTC people of Texas?
Oh, goodness.
If it's too complicated.
I don't know that I can.
Okay,
quickly.
Let's skip that. Because I only got, Paul, how much time I got? 3 minutes? Okay, how about this one? You touched on it. I told you not to steal my thunder. I want to ask a question concerning Penal Code 942, deadly force to protect property, paragraph 3A. The land or property cannot be protected or recovered by any other means. Where does property insurance come into play here? I'll give you an example. Guy's got a $50,000 car.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it stolen. He shoots the guy dead. Go to the courtroom. I always bring up the scenario. Sir, do you have insurance? Yes, I do.
I don't think that applies. I don't
Tell
think.
Me why.
I don't think insurance, an insurance carrier, that applies to this part of it. Now, I tell you, you can look at the legislative intent. There are penal codes that you can buy that you can look and you can research the legislative intent there to see if that includes insurance, because that would also exclude almost anything. Because, I mean, most people have insurance.
That's
I
right.
mean, property insurance on tangible property in their home.
Okay, moving on real fast. Last question. Ed, why is the law most of the time so hard to understand? Why so much legalese? Is it to give the attorneys in the court the upper hand when manipulating the law that others just say, okay?
Okay, you know, I don't know if I can even answer that question in a straight face without lying to the camera. You know what? It is complex. It's unreasonably complex. But then what I tell people is every word in this section of the code, any contract, if you sign a lease, that word is in there for a reason. And you know, you're not ever going to understand it all 100%. I'm not, even the attorneys that prepare them don't necessarily understand it all. They're just preparing for potential things that could occur, and they're trying to think of all the different things that could occur.
Paul, time. All right, Ed, awesome. Finally got
you
on here. This is a fast-paced thing. We could stand here for 2 hours probably.
Well, probably
thank
could.
You very much. Everybody, make sure you listen to Ed Laughlin on Law Talk every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10. We're going to have to cut it short right now, but until next week, remember to keep your powder dry, and God bless. We'll talk to you next week.